Welcome in to yet another edition of Daily Tap. It is for Thursday, January 11th. We are already through first 10 days of the year. Hopefully it has been off to a good start for you tappers. You can find us at SnowTapWI on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes. Thanks to everyone who listened to the Mike Pettine podcast. We saw some of our best numbers. I haven't looked at them since about 3 or 4 today, but they were really good. Hopefully those continue. If you hadn't listened to Tapping the Keg yet, follow up this podcast with listening to that. It's definitely a good palate cleanse of what happened last week and what's going on for the coming week. So today we're probably going to be talking. We're going to talk a little bit about Brett Favre. He's in the news recently. Elliott Wolf taking the Cleveland job, and while I have no problem with him doing that, and then a Lutheran school in my hometown of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, is in a little bit of trouble, just a little bit. We're going to talk about that and wonder what the hell happened there. Let's start with Brett Favre. I didn't expect that I would be doing a podcast about Brett Favre today. I kind of looked at what was on the docket, and obviously we want to talk about Bucks Magic, but there's going to be a recap blog, so we don't need to double up. And plus, we'll talk a lot about the Bucks tomorrow night, get everybody ready for the Warriors game as well as the Heat game this weekend. So big Bucks weekend as is. So, but I was going to talk about Elliott Wolf first, and then I started to think a little bit more, and I this Brett Favre documentary about his concussion and how he says in the trailer that he'd like his grandsons to play golf. He's not going to discourage them from playing football, but he would prefer if his grandsons played golf. What it seems to be is the story is about is how not playing on turf or not playing on certain types of turf are ruining people's heads. That's what it looks like the documentary is about, just given the science aspect of some of this and what's going on. So that's interesting that's the angle they're going with concussions. If Favre became a leading voice against concussions, I think that's a massive blow to Roger Goodell, because Brett Favre is still one of the most notable players in this league. He's one of the most well-respected in this league. He has still fans in Minnesota, still fans in Green Bay. And so Favre is doing this documentary, and it actually is a lot about the head injury he suffered against Chicago, which, if you remember that game, it ended up being a Tuesday night because of the Metrodome collapsing. They had to play it in frigid TCF Bank Stadium, and Favre bounces his head on the turf. Even as a fan of a rival, that was one of the scarier moments I think I've seen in a long time. Seeing sort of the hero, the guy you watch growing up, just completely disheveled on the cold TCF field. And at that point, you just kind of knew Favre would never play again. You knew it was it. Everybody did, including him. And this injury brings up an interesting point. You know, what's Brett Favre in the 2017 version of the National Football League? What does that look like? Like, think about all of the different injuries he played through. He played through like a broken thumb. He probably played through a couple concussions that he shouldn't have. And I don't think there's a chance Favre has the Iron Man streak that Peyton Manning surpassed him. I don't think that exists for Brett Favre. I just think there were way too many injuries. People are way too cautious that he would have been pulled at some point and told, you're not going out there. There's no way we're going to have you go out there. And the whole concussion thing, I have no idea how many concussions Brett Favre probably played through. I'm sure it's way more than we'd like to know. And it's a scary thought. And it's one of those things. I don't really get too on the high horse about concussions and everything like that, because I still find football fun. Football is enjoyable. And yes, there are ramifications. There are things there. But these guys choose to play it, and it sucks they don't get guaranteed contracts. It sucks that the NFL does not do enough for them when they're retired. But the fact of the matter is they chose to play it, and there are millions upon millions of fucking people who would love to be in their shoes. So I don't go completely snowflake on this whole topic. I just have sympathy for Brett Favre. And if obviously something happened to Brett Favre where his life was derailed by CTE, that would be one of the saddest things in my life. And so I hope that's not the case. And I do find that interesting. And the other part about Favre that I guess the other part about Favre in 2017, and I've touched on this in podcasts, writing, all sorts of things, he would have never survived. I mean, the social media aspect of Brett Favre's career would have just never worked out. I mean, the guy was a heavy drinker. He had a painkiller problem. Let's remember, he was one of the most notable quarterbacks, one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks, and had to admit that he was going to rehab for a painkiller addiction. So think about that for a second. That would be like if Carson Wentz or Jared Goff were to say to the team that they had a painkiller addiction and they had to go seek help. Now, in 1994 or 93 when that happened, painkiller addictions were a thing, but they weren't to the opiate crisis that we have today. And imagine that. I mean, there's so much of Favre's career, and there are stories upon stories. If you know the right people in the state of Wisconsin, they can tell you Favre stories to kingdom come about his drinking prior to the painkiller addiction, to the rehab. The fact is this guy would have never made it out alive in social media today. He would have been Johnny Manziel on steroids. He was more talented than Johnny, who's, by the way, attempting a comeback. I'm totally here for. So that's what I have on Favre and the concussion. One thing I did want to mention too that I thought it's interesting is this did pick up some notoriety with the Star Tribune, and I do wonder, you know, is Favre going to be really involved with the Vikings if they do make the Super Bowl? That I didn't even factor that in the list of things of why I can't have Minnesota win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl, and that's one of them. But I would love it. Love, love, love if Philadelphia beats Atlanta and then Favre is there. Favre's in Philly against the Vikings and he just is all decked out in Eagles gear cheering for his buddy Doug Peterson. That would be the ultimate FU moment, and it would turn the backs on the Vikings, and I'm sure he would be like, oh, I got a lot of respect for the Vikings, but, you know, I got to cheer for my man Doug, and it would be just fantastic. So check that out. I think it debuts tonight on Stadium, which is an app. It's been kind of getting some run. Check that out. If I'm wrong on any of that, I'll let you know. We're going to post the trailer into the link of the website. So StoneTapWI, it's a website. Check it out if you have any interest in it. And let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Shoot me a tweet. Let me know if you like it or if you need some work or if you just wish Brett Favre could still play football. Moving on to Elliott Wolf. So Elliott Wolf takes the job with the Cleveland Browns, and all of a sudden the Browns are Green Bay East, as Field Yates from ESPN like to call them. And it's not a surprise. Nothing of that surprises me because Elliott Wolf had two opportunities to interview for a GM job with the Lions and with the Jets, and he was declined both of them. It was made seem that Elliott Wolf was the next guy in charge when Ted Thompson left. There were rumors that a lot of stuff that was done had Elliott Wolf's hands all over it, and that this was a sort of a, you know, that was the next step. Never happened. Elliott Wolf obviously doesn't get the job. Brian Gutekunst, who I'm still working on that pronunciation, gets the job. And they offered Wolf a very prominent role. I'm sure they offered him a lot of money. But at the end of the day, he knew it was time to move on. And I don't blame Wolf one second. And here's the thing about Elliott Wolf. And Elliott Wolf is 35 years old. Elliott Wolf is going to get a GM job sooner rather than later. Elliott Wolf could certainly come back to the Packers in 4 years. It would not be surprising if Gutekunst doesn't work out or he takes another job or whatever. Wolf could certainly come back. And that would not surprise, I think, anyone if he ended up being back with Packers at some point of his life because of just the history and everything that's there. And I kind of like the fact that Cleveland is doing it with Packer guys, with John Dorsey and Elliott Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith. That's a very interesting blend. It makes Cleveland a little more fun, and I think Elliott made the right decision. I would not have went with Reggie McKenzie in Oakland just because of the uncertainty with John Gruden. Like, do I really want to handle John Gruden on a day-to-day basis? GM Street with Mike Lombardi and Tate Frazier did a great job covering the Gruden press con, or just Gruden hire in general, and Lombardi, who's a former GM, former NFL executive, broke down just how hard it is to work with Gruden. He actually worked at the Raiders same time, and just how difficult things were. I think Elliott Wolf made the perfect decision to go to Cleveland, where he has some time to grow. He gives him a 4-year deal, same as Dorsey. So you could almost say maybe Dorsey leaves the door open for Wolf to succeed him in 4 years. We'll see what happens, but I'm not shocked at all. And I know that people are freaking out about, hey, well, now the Packers have lost all these different scout guys. You know, what are they going to do? Packers will be fine. They have some veteran guys behind the scenes and personnel that are still there. They also have, you know, Scott McCullen is another guy who I wrote about today that I think is a real legitimate shot at getting something if he has his life in order. And if working in Wisconsin is not going to trigger, you know, his alcoholism, because obviously if it did, then that point is moot. But if it doesn't, then that's definitely a sexy hire who I think a lot of Packer fans would get on board with. Other Packer news notes, they added Frank Cignotti as the quarterback's coach, seen in high regard. He was on the Giants staff with Ben McAdoo. They're looking at a Patrick Joseph, who was at the Giants as well, but seen in very high regard, worked with the Texans, and had also done had come up through the Patriots. Jim O'Neill, Mike Pettine's dude who might coach linebackers, he's getting a look. And then they're bringing Joe Witt back to be an assistant head coach as well as a defensive pass game coordinator. Witt gets a promotion, which should help him in the future. So I don't think Pettine's giving up any of his roles and responsibilities. Rather, I think it's one of those things where Witt gets this to kind of make it look good on the resume. You never have that where you have a job and it's really not changing, but you're like, hey, maybe add like manager on this, make it sex it up a little bit for me. And they do. And then you go to interview for your next job and you're like, oh, you were a manager. And you're like, yeah, I was, bud. And see, that's the beauty of it. So we'll see. I don't think that's anything worth reacting. I saw some people getting up in arms about it, which is just fucking stupid. Like, shut up. Wrapping up here, we have maybe one of the worst stories of the 2018 year with Ari Deemer from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, my hometown, a Lutheran school, put out a homework assignment yesterday or the day prior or whatever that said three good reasons for slavery. Yes, that was the name of the homework assignment. Let me say that again. Three good reasons for slavery. I mean, why? What are you thinking about when you're doing this? Like, how can you not expect that to be offensive? Like, I'm sure he or she had some internal dialogue about, like, hey, maybe I shouldn't. But you know what? Here's the point I'm trying to get across, and you're defending yourself. But at the end of the day, there's no more outraged culture than parents. Parents love to be mad at things that happen to their kids. It is human nature. Grizzly moms are at an all-time high. They just love to protect their kids at all costs. And is that part of moms and dads' roles? Sure. But and then after the fact, so if the kid has something wrong with it, they're going to go absolutely out of this world. Now, that being said, it probably warranted it. It probably worth getting shamed on, because I can't believe someone is that big of a fucking idiot. And here's the thing. I was a history minor. I know that slavery is a part of U.S. history. That said, you can phrase that in such a better way of, Nate, tell me three reasons why slavery happened, or tell me why slavery continued, or, you know, it can't be like that. And it looked, by the handwriting of the kids, it didn't look like these kids were that old. Like, what are we doing teaching first graders about the Civil War? I mean, the Civil War is depressing as shit. Our country broke apart. It is not a fun thing to talk about. And if we're talking about war with kids, I mean, Jesus. I can't really remember, though, my second or third grade curriculum. I thought we didn't really start talking history till like the fifth grade. Maybe that's wrong. And if it is, there is probably a reason that I don't remember that, but whatever. So, man, just be better. You gotta think. got to do some thinking, and you got to not have this thing happen, because holy shit. I don't know if it's gone viral yet, because everyone's still mad at H&M, who, by the way, his mom. So if you didn't know the H&M story, I'll catch you up real quick. So a small black child wore a hoodie that said "the coolest monkey in the jungle." Yikes. As you can imagine, that's a very problematic hoodie, for obvious reasons. And so the H&M just got absolutely shit canned. The Weeknd dropped a sponsorship with H&M. LeBron James Instagrammed about it. As someone who dabbles in the social media world, that whole thing would have been my personal hell. I don't know if an H&M person has got out of their desk or got out of the clothes they were wearing on Monday, but it is not looking good for your friends at H&M. And then to top it all off, to add a little element, his mom's like, "I see nothing wrong with it. Move on." And it's like, whoa. So you're, and it's just, oh my God, it's just an absolute fucking mess. So that wraps us up. We shall talk tomorrow. And boy, do we have a podcast tomorrow. Besides any sort of news that breaks, we're going to just really do a deep dive on the Weeknd, talk about the college basketball games that are upcoming for the local teams, talk about the pro games, big, big Bucks weekend, as I mentioned, and talk about the NFL preview the two NFL games for Saturday. Same thing as we did the last week, kind of rolling that back. So once again, thank you to everybody who listened, checked out Tapping the Keg. Hopefully you're checking this one out. Like I said, you can find us SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Best of all four worlds. So take care and have a good day, Tappers. See ya.